Good morning. This is Lance Kenmore with the Kenmore team, and I'd like to welcome you to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We're here every Saturday morning right here on News Talk 870. As always, you can contact me, Lance Kenmore, anytime direct on my cell phone at 727-8977 or visit us on the web at kenmoreteam.com. Once again, I always like to thank John for hosting and everybody here at the station for working on this. John, how you been?
Getting warm. Turned on the AC this weekend.
Yeah, it's absolutely been the case. The houses, the curb appeal we always talk about, things are greening up and looking good. I see you've switched hats. I see you're full on in baseball mode now.
It's baseball. Well, Wahoo the Indian is the coolest logo, and I've always kind of liked Cleveland.
Absolutely. And we have with us our in-house lending expert, Mr. Tom Coyne at Umpqua. Tom, how are you?
Man, I'm fantastic. I, too, am loving the weather.
Yeah,
it's really kind of turned around for us. It's warming up and it's nice.
Yeah, it makes a big difference when we're out showing houses and listing houses. I find it much more enjoyable this time of year. Well, we always like to, before we jump into our topics, we always like to get our crazy real estate story out of the way. And this is a good one for you, Tom, here. I've got, just in case you wanted to pick up your New York house, the Frank Lloyd Wright suite where he stayed when he was building, when he was busy building the Guggenheim Museum, when he stayed there at the plaza, that is actually a residence that is for sale.
And it's going to be some huge number.
No,
right?
It's a very modest number because it's had a price drop. It was listed last year for $39 million, and they are now trying to get $26 million for it.
Well, it's reasonable then.
So now that
it's affordable.
Now, mind you, they did do a complete renovation in 2011, but get this. The last recorded sale on it was in 2009 for $13
million. Wow.
So how'd you like to double your money in 6 years there?
Wow.
It'd be a little interesting to see what that crazy market looks like.
And for a minute you meant 1909, and then I thought, oh.
No, not
7 years ago.
Yeah, we're talking 7 years ago.
7 years.
Half price.
Making $13
million. Yeah.
Ah, that's incredible.
So we are in a great market here at Tri-Cities, but folks, do not pay attention to that math because that is not quite as hot as it is around here in the Tri-Cities yet. So we always like to get that crazy real estate story out of the way and then bring it back to topics that we're talking about in our local real estate market. Tom and I were talking last week. We had felt like it had been a couple months since we had really gotten a good handle on the other side of the real estate market. We talk a lot about residential, but that is the commercial real estate market. And that is definitely a very specialized field, very, very different than the residential real estate market. And so when it comes to that, we always like to bring in another expert to talk about that. And our favorite commercial real estate agent in the Tri-Cities is here with us, and that's Mr. James Wade at NAI. James, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Lance. If you have to excuse me for a minute, I've got to run out and get this man a proper baseball hat.
Oh man, didn't even as a guest, and now even the guests are starting
pretty comfortable.
Are getting pretty comfortable.
Should have left the Green Bay
here for sure. So, James, talk to us a little bit about your background. I mean, we've had you on the show in the past, but for listeners that haven't heard, how did you arrive at commercial real estate?
Well, I initially started in residential, like a lot of people do, and determined that all residential brokers are, in fact, certifiably insane.
Yes, there are days that my wife tells me that. Absolutely.
So I decided I like business. I like finance. I like helping people get from point A to B. My mantra is fulfill your plan. And I like helping people succeed in their business, and real estate's a really big part of that.
That makes a lot of sense. I can imagine, and this is one of the things that we, you know, talk about a lot in the differences between the two, is you'll have a residential agent and we'll get him to Tom and he'll do the loan and look at their finances and approve them. But a lot of times I look at what you do and we talk about what goes on with you, it's when people are looking for a location or they're starting a business, a lot of times it's more than, I love how you say fulfill your plan. It's not just the building. I mean, sometimes you're having to determine if these folks even have a viable business plan, if I'm not mistaken.
There is nothing quite as fun as walking into a first-time meeting with a client and hearing the phrase, I've always wanted to, and then they fill in the blank with the business that they want to do. Real estate lessons are expensive, so I like to work closely with clients to make sure that they can succeed with what they're doing. And part of that's location, the rate, the price, and the other part of it is making sure that what they're selling is what the world wants to buy, located in the place that the world wants to buy it.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, those are things, you know, we're usually worried about somebody being close to where they work, not all of those additional demographics, for sure. And so I guess one question that comes up a lot that our listeners have asked us and people have contacted me when I'm out talking to the general public, and that is if you could give us just a current state of what the commercial real estate market looks like in Tri-City. So on the residential side, we've talked on the show, we're in a very hot seller's market. We've got limited inventory. How do things relate? Where are you guys at on the commercial real estate market right now? What are some of the sectors and trends that you're seeing there?
You know, we're probably a little bit like residential, but not so much. And that is that supply and demand works. So well-located properties that park well, that have good access, good signage, are getting increasingly difficult to find. So consequently, what I end up doing is working on some new projects. So I have two commercial projects that are going to be kicking off here shortly, one of which we don't have drawings, we don't have plans, and it's half full. So if you're in the right place,
wow.
Queensgate, Dupertail area, very hot location right now. That's where one of these buildings is going. Columbia Center Boulevard, you know, 40,000 cars a day works. Have another building that we'll be meeting actually this weekend on going in there.
Wow.
So you start looking at doing some new product to meet the demand. Starting to see some really interesting lease rate activity. We have a new restaurant going in and out at Dupertail. They have an end cap that they want to lease out at $40 per square foot, which is the highest lease rate number I've ever heard in the Tri-Cities. And what I always tell folks is if you need to be in that $40 location, let's make it happen. But if you really don't need to be there, let's go see if we can't make it for something around 18 or 20 that still gets you where you want to go. Gives you a lot more money to use for marketing, use for staff, use for whatever. But if you need the $40 location, sure, let's go there.
Yeah. Wow, those are insane numbers. I know what I pay for my office rent.
You pay less than that, Lance.
I pay less than $40 a foot, thankfully. Hopefully my landlord's not listening and hearing those numbers. So yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense for sure, and that's really interesting. And so I guess one of the things when we talk commercial real estate, I mean, you're dealing in one breath, you're talking about restaurants and those commercial spaces, but then you're also encompassing office space, correct?
You know, when I talk to some of my compatriots in other big cities, there's like the guy that works the Kent Valley in Seattle, and all he does is warehouses between 40 to 100,000 square feet, day in, day out. That's what he does. I don't think I'd be very good at that. I like working in lots of different markets, and in our population size, even though we're growing, you have to be knowledgeable in lots of different markets. I think that benefits the client, though, because then they know things that are coming, they know where they need to be, they know that in my business, synergy works. So being next door to somebody that does something that complements yours is beautiful.
Well, and I think that puts us, that discussion that you point that you bring up there, that's one that is very, very relatable to the residential side and our population base. And that's where people have said to me, well, gosh, Lance, wouldn't it be great if you just sold 500,000 and up houses? And I was like, well, I don't know how great that would be because the number of those houses that turn over, mm-hmm. I'm not sure would support the level of of business that I wanted. In our population base, it's way more difficult to find an agent that just does luxury or just does waterfront or just does golf course properties. And, you know, when we're looking at 230,000, 240,000, you kind of have to have some experience and some knowledge in a few of those other sectors to really round out your business plan. So I'm glad you brought that up, because that is absolutely the case with our business. People call sometimes and say, hey, you know, my house is $150,000. Are you willing to come and look at that? And I usually, you know, I'm jumping through the phone. I'm like, absolutely, because that is a crazy price point that is selling right now. So I think sometimes you got to go where the market is, and we see people make that mistake. I'm sure you do in your industry also.
Diversity is a beautiful thing. You know, in New York City, for instance, there are brokers that work a building for their entire career. That's all they do is a building. I think this is a much more fun way to do it. And I think it serves the client better, because then I can talk to them about everything that's going on in our marketplace in every type of business. And we have a pretty diverse economy these days in the Tri-Cities. There's a lot of things going on, and there's a lot of corporate folks coming into the market that didn't used to be here. And it's a fun time, but it's a fun time if you know what's coming down the pike.
Okay, absolutely. And now talk to me a little bit about your company. You're at NAI, and how did that come about?
You know, I'd been at a small, what I would refer to as a boutique office for a number of years, and just felt like to really service a client, I needed to get into an office that had national and international linkages available. I have a lot of clients that are moving out of our area and staying here, but expanding into other marketplaces, and I need to be able to service them with professionals that I knew could take care of them. And so I liked that, and our world is changing. You know, there's businesses that function out of the Tri-Cities that go all over the globe, and having brokers that you can refer them to in other markets is pretty darn handy.
Yeah, and that makes a lot of sense. I mean, you look, and some people might say the Tri-Cities is growing up a little bit, and you start to see some of those bigger players come into to our market. You get your, you know, to my daughter's excitement, you get your Chipotles here. and you start to see your Qdoba. You do. You see these bigger brands, heck, we have a Krispy Kreme now. And so you start to look around and see these bigger brands where we would normally only see if we traveled out of town come into our market. And so that makes a lot of sense. I'm glad you brought that up and can service people in those other markets.
So how does that work when a corporate company like that comes to you guys and I mean, they tell you, hey, we're looking to put this restaurant in and here's the space we're looking for, and you just start seeing what's out there for them?
You know, because we're the only national in the Tri-Cities, a lot of those companies have national contracts with our company. Mm-hmm. So some guy from New York, Chicago, that you've never met before, picks up the phone and calls you and says, hey, I need some help locating this client in your market. So Chipotle was a classic. There are many, many others looking right now. So what you do is you get their demographics. Most nationals have very specific site criteria. And when you communicate with them, they want the information only in that format. So population, traffic, drive times, disposable income, all of that sort of data, which is what we provide, helps them pick their site. They're coming here because we have a nice stable economy, and we've had a nice stable economy for a number of years, and we just keep ticking along 3% a year up, up, up. So there are others that I would love to mention their names that I cannot.
we don't want to get you in trouble, for sure.
They're actively looking to be in our market, and you'll see probably in the next 6 months a couple of announcements of both restaurants and a couple of grocers coming to this marketplace.
Oh, great, great news. Good to hear. Folks, that is James Wade, commercial real estate agent with NAI. We've been talking about the state of the commercial real estate market in the Tri-Cities. We're coming up on our first break. When we come back, we'll check in with Tom Coyne on some lending updates at Umpqua, and we'll be right back.
Right here on News Talk 870.
Welcome back to the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We've been talking this weekend about the commercial real estate market, which I'm always very interested in being in the industry, and it's so different than residential. It's great to have James Wade in here talking to us about that market. Before we go into a few more details about that, we always like to get our lending update from Tom at Umpqua. Tom, I know you've been busy because we've been sending applications over to you. How's everything else going?
You know, it's been absolutely incredible. Rates are amazing right now.
Well, that's what I was talking about. I got your rate sheet a couple days ago, and you know, I have like what I considered an amazing rate. But even that being said, you send that so I can tell my clients about it. Mm-hmm. But the rates got to the point where I sent a reply back that said, wait a minute, does it make sense for me to try to refi one last time? So
yeah,
you know, I know they're low when I'm getting my interest peaked again.
It is absolutely incredible. And I guess I can't go too far into quoting rates and everything,
I can just tell you they're low.
It's about as low as it's ever been. And
yeah.
And every time we think, well, how much lower can they go? How much lower do they go? And then they just creep down just
right,
a little
because,
bit.
Right, because, you know, 2 months ago, the Feds raised the rates, mm-hmm. and so everybody was freaking out about them. And, folks, let's not mistake here. They're eventually going to go up. But here we had this crazy, nutty stuff happening when mm-hmm. the Fed raises the rate, and the rates have actually lowered back some.
Yeah, I'm absolutely still recommend people lock their rates as soon as they can. If you're building a house, execute the 6-month rate lock, 9-month rate lock, because we have made a feeling, at least I do, that rates will go up. We don't know exactly when that's going to come or what's the average going to be throughout the end of the year, but the feeling is they are going to go up.
June. Oh, sorry. I wasn't supposed to say that on the rate. No, I don't. I'm just
June 7th.
I'm just saying I expect them to be going up. So that's a prediction, folks, not a fact.
Well, with James Wade here talking about commercial real estate, I thought it'd be smart to talk about investment properties and what distinguishes residential from commercial. And one of the, well, two things I really look at are, is the property residential in nature, and is it less than 5 units? So if it's residential in nature and less than 5 units, then those are the types of financing that we can handle. If you have a mixed-use property or an office building or a 6-unit apartment complex, that's when we pass you guys off over to our commercial lenders. But for a home that's residential in nature, and maybe you're looking at a 1-unit rental, we require 15% down on that, but usually mortgage insurance is pretty high, so I usually recommend getting to 20% down, but rates get even better at 25% down. With how low rates are, I have countless clients that come in and they purchase a rental property on a 15-year loan and they're cash flowing $300-$400 a month, which is amazing on a 15-year loan. And some of these people look at this as, maybe I don't want to be a landlord forever, but for the next 15 years, I think I could do it. And then this house is paid off. So to be able to go out and purchase investment properties right now on those short loan terms, like say a 15 or a 10-year loan, and cash flow that well, it's an incredible time to think about investing in real estate, especially when you look at your 401k from the last 18 months and compare the returns that gave you to what you could have gotten in rental income. So something to think about there.
It's something really to think about, and we've done a couple shows on that entire topic, but you're absolutely right. If you look like the fact that you can purchase a rental, put it on a 15-year note, and even if it, let's just say it just breaks even and you put a little bit of time into it each month, or you have us do the property management on it on the residential side, and you make it break even for the next 15 years, don't have to think about it. You have to ask yourself, will I have saved, if that house is worth $175,000? If I do it on my own without this property, will I have saved $175,000? Because if that's paid off at the end of the deal, along with some appreciation, purchase now at 160, maybe worth 200 at the end of the 15 years?
Well, if the answer is yes, I could have saved that on my own, then why don't you do that and get the property?
Then
you have 350, not 175.
Yeah, absolutely. And so it's definitely, and this is something always easy for Tom and I to talk about because we both share that passion and do that exact same thing with numerous properties ourselves. So
yeah, so it's important to look at your finances and look at your ultimate goals for, say, retirement or the next 15, 20 years of your life, and consider, is it time to buy an investment property? Or if you already have investment properties, You know, I just had this client with a he had a small home out in Pasco. His rate was 7.5%. We just closed that refinance last month. And I asked him, why hadn't you done this before? He's like, well, I just thought it was going to be a lot of work or a lot of paperwork. I don't have to. It's really not that bad. You know, we schedule an appointment. You come in and meet with me for an hour. Takes us 4 weeks or so to close the loan. And boom. I mean, he dropped his interest rate. It was like by about 3%. I mean, so significant savings he had.
Yeah, he's going to be a happy, happy camper. Mm-hmm.
So if look at your interest rate, if you think you might be able to increase that cash flow by potentially refinancing, or even maybe you shave some time off the loan and keep your payment about where it's at, it might be a good idea to look at your current mortgage and see if you can save some money.
Okay, absolutely. Good information. So, James, I've got another question for you. One of these differences from residential real estate to commercial real estate. You drive around and you see a lot of these commercial buildings, and they look really nice from the outside. And then you pull up and you look in the windows, and you got a cement floor and nothing in there. Now, we don't really operate like that in the residential real estate market. We don't see a builder put up six homes, completely landscaped, done on the outside. And then I show a buyer and we open the door and there's a cement floor and studs. And we just say, hey, you know, whatever you want to do, we'll do. That's not exactly how it goes on the residential side. I think in your business, I know enough to be dangerous to call that vanilla shell, but I'm going to let you explain the rest of that process or what's going on in those situations.
You know, one of the things, the difference between yours and mine marketplace is truly in what I do, everything is negotiable.
Okay.
So you negotiate everything. And what I always tell folks is to pick the top two things that matter most to them, and we're going to get those. But you know what? Let's throw in a third and a fourth that when we start getting into the heat of negotiations, we can give to the landlord or we can give to the seller. So he feels like he's getting a win, but you got your top two things. So typically that's rate or price. People have a budget. They have to stay in it. They have to meet it. And then also typically the build out comes into play. So some of the buildings I walk into will have a dirt floor and nothing okay. because they didn't want to put anything in because they didn't know where the plumbing was going to go. So we negotiate the floor plan. We negotiate who pays to get it built out. We negotiate the rate. We negotiate the term. All of that is negotiated as part of any kind of a deal for a lease. Just finished one. In fact, when I go back to my office after this, going to be wrapping up a deal. It's a pretty fun one. It's a growing business. It's not quite where they need to be. So we did a lease with an option to buy, and they have a window of time after the first year and before the fourth year that they can buy the building at a pre-stipulated price, except now they're buying the building when it's full. So the banker looks at it and goes, hey, I can incorporate this lease income into your ability to qualify. So this business, which is really doing well but not quite there, can know that they can own this building a couple of years down the road and not be paying rent anymore, but be paying themselves on some kind of a lease back deal. And contrary to what you said about rates, I think rates are going to stay low for a while. Germany's talking about zero or less interest rates for lending right now. I think that's crazy sauce, but
yeah, absolutely.
It's going to impact us. So it'll be interesting to see, but what I love about what I do is everything is negotiable.
No, that makes a lot of sense. And like you said, I like what you said, they don't know what their tenant is going to need yet. I mean, it's such a diverse, you know, at least with the house, you know, most people need a certain number of bedrooms and a kitchen. And so I think it's a little more cookie cutter in that. But, you know, the difference between a Subway and a, you know, tanning salon is probably going to be a little bit drastic.
You could get a sandwich and a tan. I don't know. You might have a concept there.
So what happens when a restaurant comes in and they do a lease for, what's a typical lease, 7 years, 5 years?
Depends who's doing the build out and depends the condition of the building. And restaurants are a little tougher because there's a lot more plumbing, a lot more health code. You've got hoods, you've got ventilation. So a lot more things going on. But typically that's going to be at least a 7 year deal and maybe a 10 year deal.
And then when that lease is up, let's say that business wants to move, then they'll come and redo a build out for another company.
Correct.
Okay,
correct.
Got it. So that's not the company moving in that's doing it, but the landlord finances that.
It's all negotiable. So if you wanted to get a lower lease rate, you'd throw some money at those tenant improvements in the build out. If you didn't have that money, you'd pay a little bit more on a monthly basis to be able to get the build out that you need.
Okay, interesting.
Very, very good stuff. And I know, too, I've seen you do a couple projects over the last year as we're driving around. As the Tri-City starts to build up, it's interesting because you see a lot of these larger parking lots then get parceled up, and you see new businesses up in the corners of them. I mean, I see you guys doing a lot more infill-type buildings than I did before. You'll see, like, what, Texas Roadhouse go in front of, you know, Ranch and Home, stuff like that.
You know, one of the projects that I'm meeting with a developer Thursday on is just about a half a block from Columbia Center Boulevard, and it's exactly that. It's the largest parking lot you've ever seen, because that's the way commercial buildings used to be designed, is the building went in the back, the parking went in the front. So now you've got these big buildings generating lots and lots of traffic, and people coming in to spend money driving right by empty parking lots to get to where they want to go. So what we've done, Texas Roadhouse is a prime example. We've done it with a couple of others as well, about to do it with a couple more, is put a building where that parking lot is, because, you know, parking lots tend to be fairly level, so we're usually pretty easy sites to do. Mm-hmm. The access is already there, and away you go.
Yeah, that's good, good information for sure. Mm-hmm. Well, James, we always like to give our guests an opportunity to highlight if there's a couple properties that you currently have that aren't filled that you think is a great commercial deal, or some buildings for sale. What are one of your top one or two picks that you really think is a good deal right now?
You know, first let me say, Lance, I would never, ever attempt to do residential real estate, because your pool of knowledge in that market is so vast and your experience so wide that I would never touch that, because I could get myself in trouble doing that. So tip of the hat to you for knowing what you're doing.
Well, the same thing on your end. You've represented me in plenty of commercial transactions, and people always they're like, you use James, but you have a license? Well, there's some other things there that I don't know about, and he knew a lot about, so.
You know, one of the projects I've got going right now that I kind of like is I've got 20 storage units on Welgian Way right across the street from Fred Meyer, with ability to add six more to it. So you end up with a total of 26 10 by 20 units, a separate building in back with two garage doors. Really, really nice shop for a guy that's got a detailing business or something, on the market for $425,000. So put your business in the back, lease the units out front at $80 a month, make your payment off the mini storage, and you've got yourself a free business location. And I really think the long-term play in that location is, I think that ultimately you end up taking that storage unit out and putting in a retail store down the road, because you look at Aaron Drive, you look at Welgian Way, it's doing nothing but growing right now.
Absolutely. That's a really, really good one. In fact, I'm doing the numbers in my head right now. You might have just sold me on it.
Everything's negotiable.
Okay, fantastic. Well, James, thanks again for coming in and giving us the commercial real estate update. People can always go to my website at kenmoreteam.com. If you've got a commercial question that we can't answer, we generally refer those right over to James. If you need to get a hold of him, go there. Is there a website on your end, James, where you drive traffic for people asking questions?
You know, my website is my tag, and that's Fulfill Your Plan. So www.fulfillyourplan.com. You can email me, you can phone call, you can do whatever. All my listings are up there as well, and you can get that anytime.
Absolutely. Well, thanks again for being with us.
Thank you. Tom, your
contact info for people looking to get qualified, because trust me, we are not looking at offers that don't have qualification letters in this hot market. How do they get to you?
If you want a pre-approval letter, go to my website, tomcoynehomeloans.com. Click that little apply now button.
Absolutely. And we will be right back here next week.
Right here on News Talk 870.